As Christians, we are so often content in just following the disciplines, and that often leads to us getting complacent. Paul challenges us to go out and run the race. We often just settle. We often just try. When realistically, we need to spend time training so that we can go out and be the hands, the feet, and the voice of God in this world. Welcome to life, the grand adventure. During this adventure, there are many twists and turns, each of which will lead us on a new path in our journey. But luckily for us, we have a God with us on this exciting adventure. Oftentimes, we try to make things too complicated. Hello, I'm Adam, and I have great news for you. Life actually isn't that complicated. And if you come along with me on this podcast journey, I will share with you the Word of God and one thing about life and faith. It's that simple. Today I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Those are four short, amazingly powerful verses that make a good connection. I love using sports analogies. I love thinking in sports. Many of you might not, and that's okay. But the idea of running a race that you can't just get up and do it is such a powerful thought, such a powerful metaphor to use, an example of how we should go in our Christian faith. That's why I love these verses. Now, I do have to confess, the inspiration and underlying theme of this podcast is not mine. I got it from the amazing Pastor Craig Rochelle from Life Church out in Oklahoma, and he spoke at Men's Ignite Conference. He's one of my favorite podcast listeners. I listen to his sermons regularly, and I finally got to hear him speak in person, and it was so amazing and inspiring that I wanted to share it with everyone I've met. I shared it with my Men's Alliance group, and I want to share it with you. Now, I know I'm not doing it the justice that he had, but I'm going to do my best. So, let's get going. I've realized I'm getting old. Remember when you were young and you'd see those elder statesmen, as I like to call myself now, complaining about the kids, how everything the kids did. Their music is bad. They're so ornery. I wish these kids would be like our generation. I think that's happening, and I'm way too young for that. I hope. Now, yeah, the music you'll hear me complain about, because it's just filthy. But then I go back and listen to ours and go, oh, whoops. So before we, you know, the whole speck and plank theory, think about that before we complain about our kids. But I do think one thing that I noticed that I didn't notice as much in my generation is the desire to put forth the work. And I've seen it over the years, and it's not really their fault. A lot of it's on us as adults, because we give them everything. A lot of these last couple of generations think everything's going to be right just by saying so, and if they do it. And they expect it to be perfect the first time, without putting forth any work. I've seen it as a teacher over the years sort of become even more and more. Now, it's not all people, as with any stereotype. There are so many outliers. There are so many people that are working their tails off. If not, America would be crashing. And I heard this example by this guy who had to do a job interview a little while ago, and he said to the young person interviewing out of college, why should I give you this job? And why should I pay you this outrageous number you just wrote down and asked for as a starting salary? And the young man said to this guy doing the interview, "Well, my mom said I deserve it." See, it's this thought pattern is not about the kids as much as it is about us as adults. We need to be willing to let them fall down. We need to push them to work hard, to put forth that effort. If not, it's going to be frustrating for them when they get older. It's going to, we're failing them if we don't. And I see it so much because there's so many kids, it helps as a teacher, that are just frustrated because they can't do it on the first time. The first time they hit a ball, it doesn't go for a home run. The first time they play the guitar, they don't sound like Carlos Santana. Kids, ask your parents who that is. Excellent guitarist. The first time they go out and run, they don't win that first track meet. They're not the best bass, they're not the best football star, not the best baseball player, not the best violinist, not the best singer on the first time. It's all about putting forth that work. It's all about working hard. It's all about getting invested in what you're doing. So there's two words I want to share with you this week. Try and train. The podcast is called Try Versus Train. A famous theologian once said, I believe it was in 1981 or so, he said, "Do or do not. There is no try. Do or do not. There is no try." Yeah, if you're of my age, you know that I'm quoting Yoda from The Empire Strikes Back, but it's so true. If you don't do anything, you're not going to get anywhere. If you don't have that mentality, a lot of this is about mindset. So let's look at the first word. The first word is try. If someone says, "Hey, Adam, can you come over here this weekend?" I said, "I'll try." Am I invested in that? Not really. If I say, "Hey, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna try to run a mile today," I'm not really saying that I'm gonna do it. When you go in with that mentality, there is so much non-commitment there. There is so much, if I don't do it, that's okay. No, it's the opposite of thinking. Failure is going to happen at many hurdles, and we don't have to expect failure, but we've got to learn to grow from it. And when you try, you don't even give yourself a chance to learn from that failure. I see that a lot on Christian podcasts. Facebook groups that I'm in. I think I'm going to try starting a podcast. And then 3 months later, I still haven't started it. And then, oh, I did one a year later. Oh, I was able to get that one out. I was just trying my best. A lot of times it comes from pushing through. Anybody who I know who's talked to me about the podcast knows that I love all the people that listen to me, and trackable numbers aren't huge, but that's okay. My wife told me, "I'm not doing this for me. I love sharing it with you, but it's not for you. It's all for one person. It's for the glory of God." And I'm having this conversation for God. It's journaling. You get to hang out for the ride. And I love that I get to share it with you. And that's the cool thing about it. But if I just said I was going to try, I wouldn't be, what am I, 2.5 years into podcasting? I would have just quit. And I've wanted to so badly at times. Right now I'm recording prior to heading off to church. But sometimes you got to find those times to fit in. It's been a week. Been exhausted, been moving, just going, 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 and just trying to fit in the time. And this weekend, the goal of our house has been to rest because we're just all tired and allergies, man. But it goes back to trying. I didn't try to podcast. If you know me well enough, you know there are very few things that I try it. Probably the most thing I try it is I try not to eat M&Ms and broke bad on that the other day, and I was embarrassed, and I just laid on my wife's laid on my wife's chest, and I was like, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I ate a whole bag of M&Ms. I tried not to eat them, and they just kept falling into my mouth. I didn't do it. I didn't set that goal. A couple years ago, I lost a bunch of weight, and during that time, I knew that M&Ms were a weakness, So I said, I'm going to have five a day, literally five. One, two, three, four, five, boom. But I was setting a goal. So that's trying. Trying just, there's no vestedness. When my son says, yeah, I'm going to try to do that. I said, no, no, no. He's a Star Wars fan, so I can go do or do not. There is no try. So what's training? If I'm saying that trying is not what you want to do, training's where we want to go. Training is what we need to do. Sports analogies are always the greatest. Paul uses one here. He said, run in a way to get the prize. And in order to be able to get that prize, you've got to put forth that effort. Some of the guys from my men's alliance group, they're going to do something called the Murph. It's this crazy wall exercise game. I'm going to get it wrong, but they got to run a whole bunch, do a whole bunch of pull-ups and a whole bunch of crunches, like more pull-ups than I've done in my entire life. I'm amazed by them. I got a buddy in there, Rocket, who does them all the time. But the one thing they said was, do not show up and do it that day. You need to train. You need to get your body ready for that. I notice that as I'm trying right now, because I mentioned in an earlier podcast, I got kind of ornery with my exercise and I'm getting back into running. So I got to train myself back up. Did you hear that? I said the word try a moment ago. I just caught myself and go, no. I'm not trying it. Because when I try it, that's what happened a few months ago when I decided to watch TV instead. I'm training myself. I'm going out for runs to build back up my time, build back up my stamina so that I can go out. I don't run marathons. I run just to feel better. But I still have to work myself into that. I've got to find a run that helps me to get my confidence back up, to get my body back in shape, to get my breathing right. While I'm training, I need to make sure that I'm getting liquids in me. I've got to make sure that I am taking care of what food I'm putting into my body. There's so many aspects that go into training. Training is not just simply, hey, I'm going to do it once and I'm ready. Training is a process. I once heard that it takes 21 days to make a habit, and habits are a good way of correlating with training. If you have that habit of going out and exercising, you'll have it. But I heard it only takes one to break it. So that one day you don't go train, that one day you step back, you fall right out and have to start over. Then it becomes trying again, doesn't it? But training helps us to prepare. Training helps us to be ready for what's going to go on. So this isn't an exercise workout podcast. This isn't a, oh, the kids aren't doing what they're supposed to. And if you listen close, you notice that I throw all the onus on us. Parents, think about that. When we're helping our kids with these habits, we need to do it with them, and we need to encourage them, and we need to help them learn from their failures. But once again, as I said, it's not a exercise workout podcast. There's tons of those out there. This is a Jesus-based podcast. So how does that relate to our faith? Well, really easy. So many claim faith, but they just show up. If you take polls of America as it's going down, but there are still a large number of people in America that claim to be Christians. But they're more or less trying. And a lot of people, you know, that first nice morning of spring, what's the best thing that a lot of my male friends want to do is go hit the golf course. It's the day they're off of work. The wife and kids might be going to church. They can get up early and go. Or I'm exhausted today. I could sleep in. We actually go to the 8:15 service. We're crazy lunatics. But we like to go and then we come back and rest, or we serve many weeks at church as well. You're tired. Something else going on. Boom, there it goes. You're just trying to go to church. I lead many small groups and I get the, oh, I'm tired tonight over the years. Oh, hit the snooze button. That's one of our challenges with our Saturday morning group is we always say, don't hit the snooze button, get up, let's go. Yeah, I decided I wanted to do this. I stayed up too late the night before. Well, part of the training is thinking about your sleep habits and exercise. So with doing something faith related, if you've got to be somewhere, then you think about your habits. What can you adjust? But let's be honest. We've all hit that spot. I hit that spot hard with football. Oh, I'd rather watch football. I'd rather be in this football. So plank, speck. Watch out for that speck in someone else's eyes when there's giant planks hanging out of our own. But don't just show up. Don't be what we jokingly call a CEO Christian. Christian Easter only. I saw a great meme this week that I'm recording it the week after Easter. It says, just so you know, 99.9% of churches that were open last week for Easter are going to be open this Sunday. So go. Get into the church. Be vested. Take a part. I find that the more I'm involved, the more I feel it. This podcast didn't come because I showed up to church and I got a good pastor. I do. I would never have gotten here. I had people feeding me. I had people encourage me. I had people in my life that supported me. I had a God that gave me inspiration. A God that says, hey, share this. As we're doing that, put on the armor of God. If you want to know what that is, read Ephesians 6. And I'll go into it, I'm sure, later in the podcast. But I really want to highlight one thing. We talked about it yesterday in a devotion that I was a part of. The sword of truth. It's the only part of the armor of God that's used for attacking. Everything else is defense. The sword of truth is God's word. And we can't train to be Christians without getting into God's word. And we are a very blessed generation. We can get into God's word everywhere. We can read it. There are so many Bibles. You can get a Bible at the Dollar Tree. You can get them for free at my church if you want me to get you a Bible. I will mail you a Bible. I have Bibles galore throughout my house. You can get it on your phone. For crying out loud, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are actually movies where they read them verbatim on movies, and you can see what's going on. You can listen to the Bible. It's so out there. Get into God's word. That's the first part of training. I'll go over some other steps in a moment, but it also makes me wonder, looking at Paul's analogies or metaphors, whatever you want to call them, that he loves running and training aspects and uses it a lot. I wonder if he was an exerciser, because I found these four passages I want to just share and then give you a few ways that we can train to be people of faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. I went in response to a revelation, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Nice. Don't run that race in vain. When you're training, you train with a purpose. I don't train to run by lifting finger weights. I train to run by running. There's other aspects of building muscle, but you get what he's saying. Galatians 5:7. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? So when you're running, be careful. If I'm running a couple miles and then I stop at a ice cream stand, oh, I cut off from my training. The Church of Galatia sounds like it's having a couple problems going on here. Let's jump over to 2 Timothy, his letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Sort of some of Paul's last words there. He's using more exercise there, fighting the fight for God. Finish the race. That's the only way you get to that end of that race is by training. He trained and worked his tail off. And then Hebrews 12:1, Men's Alliance, December verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So those are four powerful scriptures. So how can we train? Just really quick things. One, read the Bible. Ding, ding, ding. It's God's playbook. And there's other supporting books. Right now I'm diving into books telling me more about to understand my faith, understand how to lead, and understand how to be in the word. Two, be around people of faith. It's always good to have other faith-filled Christians feed into you. Now, don't hide. That's a mistake we make as Christians. We only go to church and we only hang out with church folk. It's good to have them feed into you. If you have someone that's giving you negative training, if someone says, hey, for training today, we're going to go eat cupcakes, probably someone you need to maybe not have in your life. But if you have someone that you can train and take the cupcakes out of their hand, that's what we're commissioned to do. Matthew 28:19-20 is, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Three, attend church. Many people argue we don't have to, and to be a Christian, you don't have to. But well, we're also called to be in community. We're called to iron sharpens iron. We're called to hear the word and be part of the word. And you can't be a Christian by yourself at home. You can't be a growing Christian. How about that? To be a Christian, you need to believe the birth, death, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to grow as a Christian, that's what we're talking about, training. You need to go those extra steps. Once you accept Jesus, you're going to desire, you're going to want to see those steps. Have conversations with people. Make it part of your daily life. That's how you grow as a Christian. If you just only do your 5-minute devotion, that's all you do the rest of the day, you're not really training. You're just trying a little bit, but it's better than nothing, I guess, is where we're starting. So at this point, it's that simple. Don't try. Train. Use your playbook. The Bible is there with your words. Use your resources. There are people that have been placed in your life that can help you. Attend church. Have conversations with your family, with people of faith. Let them feed into you. And the more you train, the more you're going to be able to witness for our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the playbook to grow. Thank you for giving us the bodies to share your word. Thank you for the commission. Thank you for your love and coming down and sending Jesus. Help us this week to get out of that try mentality. To not just sort of, oh, I might do it. I'll get there. If the weather's not too nice, I'll go to church on a rainy day. But help us to get up with joy as we're heading out. As we're showing your love in our workplace, as we're being your witnesses everywhere you go. Let us be your hands and feet in this world. And let us use our mouths to share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So your challenge this week is to be devoted. Look at where you are right now and start your training from there. We're all at different places. Don't try to run a marathon in a week. Trust me, I've tried spiritually and I failed. Take that next step. Maybe it's reading the Bible. Praying with your family, coming to church every week, making sure you don't hit that snooze button when you have somewhere to be to grow your faith. Reach out to your brother or sister for dinner or a conversation. Talk with your family about Jesus. There are so many ways we can train, but don't sit on the sidelines. Don't try. Let's train. Kingdom Praise Radio, I love you guys. www.kingdompraiseradio.com. I'm working on finalizing, creating and putting together the Julius Adams interview. It was so awesome. While you're waiting, look up his song Healer, Julius Adams song Healer. It is amazing, awesome dude, great man of faith. To Jesus Music and Podcast Network, www.lcprva.com. Excellent place to listen to great Christ-filled music. I call it Pandora for Christians. Check it out. One of my favorite sites is www.mensalliancetribe.com. If you're a man and you're not plugged in, check it out. If you're looking to start a tribe somewhere, hit me up. If you're looking, there's excellent opportunity next month that you can go out and you can see what it is all about in one weekend in the woods. It's an amazing. It's helped me to grow my faith. It's helping me to feed into others as we're growing together as men in my tribe. I mean, we have just a great group of men. I also created a website called Ambassadors for Christ. There's links on the notes. Too long of a website right now to buy a domain, but it's got Bible passages, links for resources. It's all there. I'm creating it for you. And also, if you're listening to me on Spotify anywhere else and you're not on Spotify or Apple or a podcast network, please check it out real quick. Give me a like, give me a listen, give me a review. That's the best way that I can spread God's word is by making the footprint bigger on the internet. That would be much appreciated. And if you do, give me a hit. Hit me up. I'll give you a shout out. And I also think about ways to get guests or special events in here. So stay tuned. So as always, I love you guys. Have a wonderful week. God bless.